Welcome to Miracle Business Breakthrough. This is your host, Amy Yamada, and I'm so excited to have you tuning in to our speaker series. And today I am truly honored to introduce our featured speaker, Ann Samoilov. And Ann is a full-time mom, a business and launch strategist whose main goal in life is to simplify the so-called complex and difficult steps to achieving your dreams into simple, actionable steps. She's also the creator of the White Space Solution book and creator of the revolutionary online training program, Fearless Launching. So the reason why I wanted to introduce Ann to all of you is that I know there's a lot of coaches and entrepreneurs listening who are thinking about or have even maybe tried launching an online product or program, and this is an area of great expertise with Ann, and she's also just an amazing person. So Ann, thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, Amy, that was such a sweet introduction. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I just love how when we connected, we're chatting away, and then not only did we realize we lived in the same state or the greater Seattle area or even Kirkland, but in the same area of Kirkland. I mean, what are the odds of that?
I know. That's just weird. That's just weird these days. When you're, like, working with someone online, you just expect them to be so far away. I'm like, what time zone are you in, Amy? You're like, well, I'm in Pacific. I'm like, okay, what's the weather like there? And we start digging in and figuring out, wait a minute, you're down the street. You know exactly what the weather is.
Isn't that so – I mean, it's really funny to me. I mean, it's just what a small world. And so in our previous conversations, we're like, well, we just need to meet at coffee at Urban Coffee Lounge down at Juanita Village. Yes. Like, we're in the same area.
Let's do this. I know. Like, so you know where my kid goes to school. You know, like, I could just, you know. I'll walk to the coffee. I don't know. Yes, I could walk there, yes. But
yeah,
I would probably
too.
Choose not to.
Right. Well, it's a day like today, though. I mean, it's been, you know,
that's
spring
true.
Is strong. It's a nice time of year. So
that's true.
Why not?
Okay.
Well, thank you again for taking time out of your schedule and being here with us for Miracle Business Breakthrough. And you've done some really great things over the years, so I'm really excited to connect and share your wisdom with the world. So can you just take us on a little bit of a journey so we can go back in time with you so you can share some of your own miracle business breakthroughs that have gotten you to where you are today?
I actually wasn't thinking of going so far back, but I think I will share. So some of the I've definitely worked in a lot of industries offline where I was using the same skills that I'm using now. So I worked in animation and visual effects for, I would say, about 10 years in Los Angeles. And that meant, that meant I was taking ideas from directors and producers and whatever. They would come in with a, here's what we want to create. And I would make sure the team did it. Manage the team through the process, kind of figure out how much time everything would take, go back and forth with the director, all of that stuff, and then eventually we would launch it because that's what happens with movies. They are, you know, they're released, they're launched. Same thing with video games and even commercials have their launch or their debut. So I've kind of been doing it forever.
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest, I went through a 5-year phase where I just, let me even go back, in that the process of being a producer or someone in production in that world really didn't leave a lot for me, or I didn't feel like at the time that I could be super creative. And I felt like I was just literally sitting in front of an Excel sheet, checking boxes off when people finished things. And I just felt really like, you know, I'm a creative person. I know how to give better, more than just this kind of feedback, like, are you done? And so because of that kind of disillusionment, even though it was a very nicely paying gig, and it probably is like one of the best areas in the entertainment industry to work, especially if you want to make real money, like above 6 figures, very easily, if you go into that world, it's still so specialized that income really kind of keeps you locked into it for a while. And that then you forget why and really what you want to do. So regardless, towards the end of that period of time, I just got so disillusioned with it and I just left. I just didn't want to manage another project. I didn't want to see someone else's idea through to the other side. And I went off and decided I was going to get certified to teach Pilates. I think I even did like some random extra acting, like acting as an extra on some TV shows like The Office and just some other various ones that were happening.
Uh-huh.
But 'cause I was just so over tracking someone else's dream from that initial idea, though mm-hmm. I never really stopped managing, because even once I was certified to teach Pilates, I learned how to start that type of business, and I fell into the role of someone who was directing, let's say, a part of a studio, mm-hmm. a Pilates studio. So I found that I was just naturally gravitating back into those areas. And somewhere along the line, I took the StrengthsFinder test, and the strengths that came up were all very much things that I had always seen as weaknesses, which is really messed up. But anyways, what came out of that was the realization that all of my strengths had to do with bringing people together, seeing the future kind of end results, learning, so being willing to be open to whatever environment I was managing or launching. And so during that time, just like I just realized, wow, well, maybe I was kind of meant to do this type of work, and maybe I just haven't found the place to do it yet. And mm-hmm. that was actually probably like one of my biggest breakthroughs, even in figuring out what I wanted to do for a business, because I eventually realized that I didn't want to work for hardly anything and not make money. And that's why Pilates didn't last more than, I would say, 4.5 years or so. Mm-hmm. I loved it, but it didn't bring in me, I didn't get any return on it. So mm-hmm. I probably taught longer than I should have, to be honest. But mm-hmm. so during that time, I just had this breakthrough that, oh my gosh, this thing that I've been thinking is the lame thing that I'm good at, this, you know, figuring out how to bring people together, bring an idea out into the world, like that's so lame somehow. I just didn't see that was where I needed to start from.
Mm-hmm.
So that lasted for a little while. That lasted for a little while, me still trying to figure out, well, how am I supposed to do this? And in the meantime, I got pregnant with my first and only daughter, and I had her. And then within that year, I discovered online business, whatever, the online business space. And that was around, I would say, 2009. And that's when I just like dove in. Of course, I had the love of learning from my StrengthsFinder test, which was mm-hmm. all true. And I essentially just kind of dove into that world. And when I had an opportunity to work with Laura Roeder, who has a really great business. If you don't know her, LKR Social Media is her site, and she just has so many good offerings, and she teaches some really amazing things just on how to use social media to grow your business. I learned so much from working with her. But when an opportunity came up, and it was literally the same type of job that I thought, oh, I'm done with this. I just dove back in. I approached it completely different. I took on the role as I own this job. In fact, I don't know what happened. Honestly, I think this was a miracle, to be totally honest. Mm-hmm. I walked in kind of from right away. I was like, this is my business. I'm the boss of Laura. And honestly, I think that's how I did. And we worked so well together because she allowed me to take the ownership. I took it and I ran with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I treated that job and that business like it was my own.
And what was the job? What was the job that you were doing with her?
Well, I was originally hired just as a project manager, really. And mm-hmm. over time, we spent more time talking strategy together for the business. I was just involved in more things. And as we brought more people on, I just knew more about how the business was running. So then for, I would say, like the last year and a half or so, because I worked with her for like 3 years, I was her director of operations. But that was just like a title. It was so weird to give me any kind of title. I pretty much just helped her run the business.
Awesome.
So, yeah, I mean, it was a great experience. During that time also, here's another thing that kind of like led to me really figuring out, like, and this is where Fearless Launching kind of came from, that I worked with her on all of her projects. So that meant I launched everything that she launched. She has programs like, there's a one called Creating Fame. She has a bunch of other ones as well, smaller projects that I was involved with at the time. But the biggest one was actually the first two launches of Marie Forleo's B School, which was actually insane to me, because I remember that was within the first 4 months that I started working with Laura. My first job in an online business, sure, I knew about, you know, production, but I didn't know about website or web or online production.
Right.
And I just kind of leapt into it. And after talking to Marie a lot about what would happen during the launch and whatnot, like what to expect, I realized this is exactly the same as everything I've ever done. This is exactly the same. I don't have anything to worry about. She's like, yeah. She's like, and Marie would always say, I'm pretty sure you got this. So just go with it. And even if you don't know all the pieces, the only difference is what are those pieces, but there are moving pieces in every single type of project or launch. And before, I was just dealing with computer animation, which in some ways was more difficult because it was more complex, more complex processes layered all together. And online launching was just like very easy to just jump into for me. And after like the first year, I kind of started like thinking about teaching people about this process of launching. But it took me a while to get there, because I didn't see the value in it. I didn't see that people would need to know how to do that process. And I took my own skills still for granted. So I fought a lot of personal, I don't want to say demons, but I fought a lot of personal kind of, really? People really want to know that? And I think after the, sorry, I'm like playing with paper here. I realized, I'm like, wait, stop. So after the second year, we launched B-School, and it was just so incredibly successful, even more so than the first time around. I started to get to know the community that Marie and Laura had built. I was getting to know Laura's community, and I just saw a need, and I realized, okay, well, let's just try this. I'm at zero right now. I have this blog that I'm kind of randomly blogging about random things related to productivity, but not really serving any one group of people. So I basically looked at what the people in Creating Fame and B School both needed, and it was instruction on the process of launching. Very simple. And so that's where I went from. I just said, okay, here's a group of people. I know what's in each program. I know that usually people don't want to learn the process, but they actually do need to. Mm-hmm. So I knew I needed to package it up in a way that would be, interesting. So it's why people who teach about systems often have a difficulty, because I think people know they need systems in their business, but how do you make it something where people really get the value of why systems can be important for your business? So I then just decided, you know, honestly, I think it was getting to know those audiences, getting to see one of my my friends and people who were in one of my coaching programs that I was in. She created a launching program, and I thought, you know, obviously she's creating this from her point of view. It was a very techie kind of program. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do the same thing, but I'm going to do it from my perspective. I'm going to do it from this perspective that and the process and what I do and what I've done through B School, through all of these offline, like the video games, movies, et cetera. And I'm going to make that into a program. And I just made the decision, honestly. But it did take time for me to see that, that's, I guess, valuable. And I think actually my friend launched the launch product is what did it. Because I thought, maybe it is. That was when my head finally, the clouds parted in my head and said, somebody else is teaching it, then why aren't you? I mean, of course, the thing is about overlapping markets is they are important. You want other people to be teaching what you're teaching, because otherwise you feel like, I mean, you don't want to be, you don't necessarily need to be a trailblazer in that department. I think especially when you're starting out, it's like, find something that other people are also doing and then serve it from your point of view.
Right.
So
no, that totally makes sense. So let me ask you this. So bringing it back to, but I love the story, and I didn't know that you worked in animation and visual effects. It's really interesting, and I always think that, you know, when we look back, we can see where what we did before relates to what we're doing now or has contributed to it, you know, because I'm sure you learned so many really interesting things from that experience that are valuable. And so when you worked with Laura and then you worked on B-School, was it that Marie Folio's team hired Laura's company to help launch B-School? Is that how that works?
No, actually, Marie and Laura created B-School together.
They created it together. Okay.
They were partners for the first 2 years, so we kind of combined our teams for that one project. And that was an interesting thing in itself, but I was the overall launch manager for the launch.
Got it.
So, yeah.
When you say launch manager, was it everything from promoting it and putting it together, or how did that work? What does it mean to be a launch manager, or what did it mean in that capacity for B-School?
It was the first priority was making sure that Laura and Marie were narrowing down their outline for the program, and it was kind of just keeping them on track to creating the content, because the very first year, you know, is the first time anything. It's not like how Marie has launched it since then, and she's able to update the material. They were creating it for the first time, so we had to split up the work between them. I mean, I was on the phone daily with both of them or on Skype with them, just kind of getting their updates. Where do they need help? What did they need help with? Sometimes it was me finding someone who could do some sort of, research or sourcing of some materials of some sort. But a launch manager, really, it's so different, I feel like, for every single project. But for B-School, it was managing every single person who was doing anything towards the launch. It was finding the web designer who did the first kind of round of branding, and making sure that Laura and Marie both kind of gave their feedback, and then we would send one unified feedback to the developer or the designer. It was everything from that to making sure that pages were tested. That, I mean, everybody on the team, everybody from Marie and Laura down to, I mean, all of us, we would all say, okay, has everyone put their eyes on today's email and today's page? And so it was quality control was every person's job on the team. And there's always a little bit of customer service. It's like finding out if people are having problems. I think we had video issues to begin with, but then we figured them out. So really, I just was like, keep the train moving, make sure everything goes out on time. And you're like Mama Bear, making sure everything's working. And so there was that. And during the creation process, during the whole, the planning and strategy, there was definitely a lot of interaction between myself. The entire team, again, was very much a part of this, figuring out what the core concept of the program was, how we were going to be presenting it to people, what the branding meant, why we were going with that tagline. It went into, so there's strategy, and then there's also just getting the project done. It's like whatever comes up.
Yeah. And there's so many details and you know, I'm sure there was so much that went into that. And so I love that you came to the realization that this is something that people need to learn if they want to launch a product or program, right? And and when I was first introduced to you, I thought, gosh, that's so genius, you know. Because most of us who the first time we ever launched a program, we just did it. You know, we didn't know the strategies behind it. We did the best we could. You know, I shouldn't speak for everyone, but when I first launched a program, it was really thinking about, okay, who are we targeting? You know, just all the general things, mm-hmm. but I certainly could have used some guidance and support on how to do it better and more efficiently and have a better result, ultimately, of people opting in to be a part of it, you know? So, you know, of course, I learned a lot from just doing it, but I just can see such huge value in what you do because there's a lot of people who either have done what I did, which is just try it, you know, create it on your own, figure it out. And it wasn't until I really invested in my own mentors over the years that I've learned how to up-level my skill sets in different areas, you know, and being a coach, you know, of course you want to practice what you preach and know that it's important to reach out for help, you know, and guidance. And so I think it's
definitely
you do this. Yeah.
And I totally agree on this because mm-hmm. even people like recently within the last year, I was helping out Jonathan Fields on a few of his launches. And I thought to myself, how am I going to possibly support Jonathan Fields? He, you know, now knowing what I know about launching, I think he's going to be paying me money for what mm-hmm. he already knows. But even someone who's kind of like, and it's the same, actually, this goes back to when I was a Pilates teacher. It's like even a master Pilates teacher, someone who's at the top of the whatever, the rungs when it comes to level of a teacher, even mm-hmm. those people go to mentors and go to teachers and go to
right.
people who can see things from a different point of view. And that's why Jonathan hired me, because he knew that I had been working on lots of other people's launches, lots of other different types of launches. And mm-hmm. so getting my perspective was very valuable for him.
Right, right. Okay, so you got to this point where you saw a friend that launched a product, right, that was about launching programs, and then you decided, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it from my point of view. I have, you know, expertise in this field. So what was that experience like for you once you decided to do that?
Okay, so before I did that, I did something mm-hmm. else. Okay, so once I saw that my friend was doing this, I reached out to her, and I said, hey, how about you want to give me as a bonus to your friend, to your audience? You can interview me about the B School launches. Since we're talking mm-hmm. you're talking about launching, why don't you just interview me? She said yes. So I was in her launching program. And mm-hmm. I'm so glad I did that because I think it was my way. I wasn't being sneaky. I was backing into kind of like, okay, next will be me teaching. But, you know, it was my kind of shy way of getting out there just a little bit before I started talking about launching. Because mm-hmm. Here's the thing about when I finally made that decision, I wasn't at the time on my blog talking about business. So I knew that I was going to have to flip a switch essentially and start doing it. And I was really concerned about that. So I started talking about changes that were coming. And then mm-hmm. this is how I tell the story. It makes it sound super easy, but it really wasn't. I did like a series of four posts in January 2012 that were mm-hmm. kind of like bridge posts. That's what I call them. And then in February, the switch was completely turned on. I did four posts, like one each week for posts on different aspects of launching. On the fourth week, I had a webinar. That's where I opened Fearless Launching. So I really only started talking about launching on my site for 4 weeks prior to the launch. So it's not like I
was, wow.
I had like a ramp up to six months or something before that.
And then you launched a program?
Yeah, I had the webinar really was my launch.
Okay, so. Yeah.
So that was it. I just kept it easy. I just mm-hmm. kept it easy, Amy. You were saying before, you know, that you just did it. And that's kind of what I did. I just did it. I didn't have a full-on marketing kind of strategy, really. I just said, okay, I know the pieces. I know what this is going to take. I have some affiliates. Let's go. And it wasn't pretty, you know, at all.
Wow. Wow. I'm sorry if you can hear my dog barking in the background.
Hey, that's
it happens
awesome.
Sometimes. It's like this is the real world, people. If you work from home and you've created a lifestyle to work from home, sometimes the dog barks. So if you hear my dog, that's Bella wanting to be a part of our interview. No, but I would love what you're saying about just jumping right in, you know, having a 4 week ramp up. You did your webinar. And then, so at that point, was it a program? Like, was it a you said the webinar was the launch. Was it part of a longer teaching program, or how was that structured?
So I did the webinar. I sold Fearless Launching. I had a couple modules of the 6-module product that were ready to go. And I just sold, that was my first Fearless Launching launch. So it just, and at the time it was extremely different in pricing because I was just like nervous about anybody showing up or nobody caring. And of course people showed up, which I say of course, but it's like, of course people showed up, Anne. You did the work you needed to do and they showed up. But really I was just the next, I think, 1 week later, we started the actual live course, and instead of a membership area, it was a protected page on my WordPress site where everything is. That first year was very sparse, very basic. The sales page, I think, was a very basic WordPress page with no graphics, just text saying, here's what the product is. Module 1, Module 2, Module 3, through 6. And there wasn't any type of really, I wasn't really selling it. Like, I didn't have those skills at that point, but I knew I just needed to get the product out there the first time. And so I did the webinar. I had a follow-up series of emails. Obviously, I made that replay available to people. I think during the process, I also had some guest posts that went live, not too many though, maybe just a few, and was able to really during that launch. Actually, the webinar I feel like is what really helped me double my list. But when I say double, I mean I was at 500 when I launched Fearless Launching. So double means I was 1,000 after that. So it's kind of, you know, it's interesting. So that's
very cool.
Kind of it was very simple. Very simple.
Yeah, very simple. So from that point on, did you create? Is it a package, or do you still sell a program, or what is the product that you currently sell?
The product that I currently sell is still the Fearless Launching, and it's still 6 core modules. Though about a year ago, I shifted what those modules were just ever so slightly to not include a tech section, because that's something that even though I can figure out any tech I need to for anything for my business, I choose that was one of my differentiation points to really stand away from other competitors in the space. So I wanted it to be a really really clearly my product and not just a duplicate of anybody else's. So now it's still a program, but it's not in a protected WordPress page. There is an actual members area, and there's a Facebook group. And this is actually the primary thing that I sell every year. And to this year, I'm only launching it once. I'm going down to a once-a-year model instead of twice a year. So I'm changing things almost every year, or somehow evolving letting the program evolve each year, just ever so slightly. So it's not part of a package really, though.
Right. Yeah. Very cool. So when do you offer it each year now?
It's probably just because it's going to stay true to how it was created. It will likely always happen in May. Which is generally close to the finish of B School, Marie Forleo's B School, just because so many people end up coming in from that program.
Definitely.
So why not, right?
Right,
why not stick with that? Plus also, in the past, when doing 2 launches a year of the program, I just found a more excited and energetic, I felt like the people who join in the spring I'm making a huge generalization here, but like those people seem to have more energy than the September folks. And I don't know, maybe that was me. So this time around, I'm just doing a May launch. I have added a crazy one-on-one coaching part of Fearless Launching now. So we'll see how that goes. It's all a test. That's the new evolution of Fearless Launching, is adding that coaching aspect to it. So
And you, so it still has six core modules. So is it a 6-week course or what time frame do people do your course?
That's actually a great question. It used to be a 6-week course, but I added 2 implementation weeks, and we do those at the end. Kind of, I don't know if you've read the book Scrum. I'm going to have to go read it because I've heard it talks about this. But at the end of the program, we kind of focus on, we do a 2-week sprint. And it's not, that's when the implementation happens. But it doesn't mean this is when you're going to launch. It just means this is when you're going to tackle the toughest part of your launch stuff that you've got on your, you know, on your table right now. And so we spend those last 2 weeks. So it's an 8-week program now.
Got it.
Yeah.
Well, that is very cool. So so you're probably in the midst of gearing up for that then.
Yes, I am.
Right?
Yes, I am.
It's that time of year. So that's very exciting. And so what is the thing that excites you the most about your program?
You know, I think the thing that excites me the most is that I can change it whenever I want. I know that's crazy, but I like that I can change it whenever I want. I get excited actually about the community more than anything else and finding new ways to give them things, to give them not rewards, but like award them something for being members of the community. So I think if there really is one aspect that I love the most, it's them. It's the community. It's the people who join because we all get to know each other so well. And launching can be pretty stressful. And so we see each other at kind of our worst and our best.
Right. Definitely. So since we're talking about what you're focusing on right now, which is what I was going to ask you about next, is that why don't you share with everyone who's listening today, because if there's those of you who are really wanting to learn how to launch an online product or program, this is such a great opportunity to really do that, especially the time frame. This is perfect, and this you only offer it once a year in May. Can you share who the program is for and what the benefits are of it? So it's a really great chance to promote you, really. But I would love for them to hear this because this is really important.
Yeah, you know, well, Fearless Launching, I think, is in the past I've said it's for anybody who's launching anything, and I do think that there are some fundamental things that you can learn about taking any project from beginning to end. But I do think that Fearless Launching is probably best for people who have some sort of online business, or they have maybe they're taking their business online after years just having, you know, a brick and mortar set up or something. And that you're going to set, I mean, but it's not just for people with online courses or e-courses. You can have a physical product. You might be a photographer. You might be a yoga teacher. We've got tarot readers in the group. So I feel like it's for anybody who wants to be able to reach and potentially sell something to a bigger audience. And you can find that bigger audience, obviously, online because there are just so many people to reach. I mean, I look at that as an opportunity. So it's for people who want to build their business online primarily. And then, you know, the benefits, the program, I feel like, I hate to say that there are so many, but I feel like one of the biggest ones is why I love what I just mentioned, why I love the most about Fearless Launching is the community. And the community is not one of those where everybody's asking questions when the class is live and then the place goes ghost town when it's over. Mm-hmm. Everybody's in there talking about their next launch. Okay, I had this launch last month. This is what happened. It didn't go so well, or it went really well. Here's why I think it went well. So I feel like there's a constant space of learning in there, and also a place that people can understand you, can get you, know why you're upset that your affiliate program isn't tracking people the right way and why affiliates are all upset because they've been, you know, you have shorthand with a group of people who are doing the same thing as you. So I think that is the biggest benefit of the program. But also the program is for people who are just starting. However, once you've launched once, you can still come back and benefit from going through the modules, maybe relooking at your business systems that I go through in the systems module, maybe relooking at your communication that I go through in the communication module. So even though it's meant for someone who's just starting out online and meant for someone who hasn't ever launched before, we've got people who are serial launchers at this point. They've launched many times. And mm-hmm. So I think it's a growing resource for you and a place you can go back to again and again.
Right. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and then again, of course, you learn right away out of the gate in module one, the overview of the process of launching. And find out that you can like delete any parts of some parts of the process if they're not right for your launch. You don't have to have a free webinar. You don't have to do a free call if you don't want to. So I like that it just gives you that very practical, very basic, very step-by-step, here's what happens in a launch.
Right. I was just going to ask you that. Is it kind of a step-by-step? And you just answer the question before I could even ask. It's perfect. No, but this is what people need. You know, it really helps to be able to have someone guide and support them. And I love the community aspect. Love that. And just know that, okay, here are the steps that I need to take. I don't have to do every single one of them if it doesn't align with what I'm doing, but here are the steps I need to take in order to have a successful launch. And then you're all doing it at the same time. So that's a very, very cool way to teach them, guide them, support them. And to those of you who are listening, this is a really great opportunity to check it out. So that's really great. And we'll get to that in a moment. But before we wrap up, I wanted to mention, Anne, that a lot of our listeners are newer coaches and entrepreneurs that would love to know how to get to that first sweet spot in business of earning $10,000 each month on a consistent basis. So I'm asking each of our experts to share their top three tips that our listeners can apply right away in their businesses to work towards that goal. So what three tips would you like to share today?
The second that you asked the question, I started thinking about leaving working with Laura Roeder, because that's when I formulated my, okay, well, if this is going to work, I got to make sure that I can guarantee you that I'm going to make $10,000 a month.
And interesting.
That was my marker when I first left her. And then over this past 6 months, I've been talking to people who are at that kind of phase where they're ready for the $10,000 a month. They're like, I just want like that, you know, that basic income every month. That's what I want to do. And I think we all want that very, first of all, I want to say about the $10,000 a month. So remember that the $10,000 might not come in like hit your bank account every month. Think about operating. Maybe this is weird, but I operate on more of a quarterly basis, because there might be a month where I don't want to do coaching, where I don't want to do a launch. So I look at the whole quarter and then divide it by three and say, okay, did I hit my 10,000 average per month? Okay, good. We're good.
Right.
You know, or whatever the case is. This year I set a little bit higher goal for myself, but it's still the same thing. Like, so that way I don't get hung up like on March 30th or whatever and think, oh my God, I didn't do a promotion this month, or I didn't see enough coaching clients. Go for like the bigger chunk of time and then divide that by three, because there are going to naturally be months where you're launching new services, launching new products, and that's when the bulk of that work comes in. So I look at it like that. So when I was leaving Laura's LKR social media, I just told myself that, I wasn't looking to be a one-on-one coach, and that's funny now that I've said that I have a coaching part that I'm really launching this time around. But regardless, I usually don't offer coaching just all the time. It's just, it's usually attached to something else. So I had to look at what core thing could I do, kind of like a day job, that would bring in cash, and that was coaching. And for me, I just gave myself a number of people that I had to sign myself up for a period of, let's say, well, actually, I was looking at the whole rest of the year. So I was looking at the rest of the 6 months of the year, and be willing to do that day job. So if you're already a coach and that's where you want to work, is there some part of coaching that maybe isn't part of your bigger vision that you're willing to do that you know brings in the money? And, you know, I call it the day job kind of coaching, or the day job service that you can offer, which isn't your dream service, but it's something that people will absolutely pay you for. It's an easy sell. And I don't know if that makes any sense, but mm-hmm. for me, it was making sense at the time, because my goal wasn't to be a coach. My goal was to have more of like an education business. And so for me, my day job kind of service was coaching. So I just say, look for that day job thing that you can offer that maybe isn't part of your long-term goal, but will bring you in money right away. Mm-hmm. And then also, I also, like, you know, I just said, look at your whole quarter, but even so, I do think it's even if you're looking at a bigger chunk of time, I always go through every month thinking, what am I offering this month for sale? And if I'm not launching something, I'm promoting someone else, I'm promoting a couple of different people, or perhaps there's some other smaller income streams that are going to be coming in. So I always want to make sure that I'm promoting or putting something out every month. This is actually where something like I have this launch walkthrough sample, and it's an email sample for a program that I have, which is essentially like getting a launch to-do list email to you. But I send a sample out for a week, and that is always running so that I'm kind of always offering something. So I don't have to worry so much. But that took me a little bit of time to create, and now those sales come in without me having to do anything. So I do think creating something that either you can easily put out every month that maybe isn't the coaching. So it's hard for me to say because I don't know exactly what everybody's doing. But for me, having that kind of standalone, always running, always making an offer thing has been incredibly helpful to kind of get me to a baseline every month that I want to get to.
Right. And when you said promoting others, did you mean that you get an affiliate commission when you promote others' products or services?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I mean, it can be a combination of different things. It could be tools you use, or it could be people in their programs that you're aligned with. The only thing that I would say about that is to make sure that you just choose a few people that you really know well, you know what they're about really well. And for me, that's always, there's only like a small group of a handful of people that I promote. And you know, you don't want to just be like throwing Amazon links out there thinking that that's going to get you to your goal, but you want to think of people that you can kind of partner with. So think of partnerships that you can establish kind of for the year, and find out when they're launching, and then they become part of your marketing calendar. And the last part of the last thing that I wanted to say about building to 10,000 or even more is you need, like, and this goes along with what I was just saying, you need a marketing calendar. You need to know what's happening every month. Don't just wait until the first of the month to decide, okay, what am I doing this month to make 10,000? Think about it before you get there.
Have a plan, yes.
Definitely. Have a plan. I mean, maybe those are really basic ones, but honestly, I just told myself, okay, when I was leaving Laura's, I just said, okay, I need to double what I did here in order to, and that's how I did reach six figures in the first year at, like, 6 months after leaving Laura's, was that I was, like, really dedicated to, okay, I don't usually take one-off sessions. I'm taking one-off sessions now, and then I filled my time up with things. Okay, yes, I want to maybe do packages, and maybe that's something I think most coaches and most people want to work in kind of like with a bulk package instead of just a one-off person who just kind of comes into your world and then leaves. It's a little disconcerting to work with someone like that. But when you're trying to get to that 10,000 level, sometimes you need to take those one-off calls or those one-off clients. So, you know, I hate to say be willing to do what you wouldn't normally do, but you sometimes do have to. And there's something, I don't remember where she said it, but I remember watching an interview with Danielle Laporte, and she basically said the first 2 years is about bringing in money, and then the next year you can kind of like back away from that a little bit and see where the, you know, then you can pull in your vision. But when you're, you want your business to succeed and to keep going, and you want to be able to sustain it. So sometimes in those first 2 years, I think you're doing things that aren't necessarily your pie in the sky.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things that when I hear that, I have this sense of peace and relief because I think about my first 2 years in business and how, you know, I was doing a lot of things. I was doing a lot of different things. And some of the things I was doing were going back to what I used to do when I worked for somebody else, but I would just get contract work, you know, doing things. I'm like, well, you know, I really need to be able to pay the bills, and I just need to just do this, even though this is not my big dream
goal,
right.
You
know.
You do what you got to do.
You do what you got to do and know that it's going to be okay. You're going to continue moving forward. You're not settling. You're just being responsible and knowing that one foot in front of the other. And so I love that you're saying this and that it's not just about this instant gratification. Everything works out day one of owning a business. You know, it takes time. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, think about how quickly a year goes by. So it doesn't take forever. It just takes some time to get up and running and really figure out your direction and all that, I think. So,
right.
Yes, I feel better
totally
about myself.
I feel better about myself, too. I'm like, yeah. And now,
yeah.
I'm able to say no to those one-off sessions.
Right.
And that
Absolutely.
Feels much better because I don't like doing triage all the time, and especially the people
right.
I don't know.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, these are such great tips. I'm always taking notes on my interviews, so I hope all of you are taking notes as well. It's really great information, and I feel like we could talk for hours. And the good thing is we're going to meet for coffee in the near future, so I'm excited about
That's
that.
That's right.
Sure. But in the meantime, was there anything else that you wanted to share today with our listeners?
Well, the one thing that I didn't mention is that I have this other sample sequence of emails. It's basically like a little mini e-course, which I haven't really made available to everybody yet. And I thought it would be cool to share it with you. And it's something that I get asked for a lot when you're doing launches. And it relates to writing launch emails. And so I simplified the process into like 5 emails that you should make sure are included in your launch. They're not going to necessarily, you know, save you or anything like that, but they form the structure of your launch. Then you can pop in your own additional emails, and you'll have all of a sudden you only had to write basically 2 emails. So I think the mini e-course is really helpful, and I'm sure you can, I think you have the link for it, so you can share that with them. It's not
Definitely.
A very pretty link, or else I would say it out loud right now.
No, that's fine. So what we'll do is we'll make sure that link is on Anne's speaker's page, so be sure to check that out and click on that, and that is such a generous gift, so thank you for offering that to our listeners.
My pleasure.
Well, Anne, this has been, like I said, so much fun, and I appreciate you for taking time out of your schedule to be a special guest speaker for Miracle Business Breakthrough, and we do hope that you'll join us again in the near future.
Oh, thank you so much, Amy.
Definitely. And to those of you who are listening to our series, I want to thank you for tuning in, and I empower you to break free and turn your small business into your dream business. Take care.